What?
Recording.
He made sure that.
Okay, it's hammer time.
Hammer time. Megan, is it still recording?
Say hammer.
Is it still recording?
Yeah. Are the numbers changing?
Yes. I think so.
The meeting of the Clark. No, oh, that's another meeting. The Mount Charleston Town Advisory Board will now come to order. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, God, you're fogging up.
Okay, we'll start with roll call.
Olivia Valley.
Ernie Frisaro.
Brenda Talley.
Curtis Alexander.
Misty Hajishik.
Thank you. We're all in our places with bright smiling faces. And now we'll go to public comment for items on the agenda. Okay, and just as a reminder, you can ask questions after the presentations. And approval for the minutes of April 29th and September 30th. April 29th is just a correction. I'll throw that out. That approval for minutes for April 29th should be for April 1st. So just kind of a housekeeping there. Any other problems with that? We have approved these already in the previous meeting. But we didn't catch that little error there. Do you want a motion for that, or?
Yes, Megan? Please.
Okay.
Just to keep it clear.
Okay. Do I have someone to make that motion?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then approval for our agenda?
So moved.
Oh, wait. Let's go back. Sorry. We've got 2 minutes to do September 30th, so we'll look at those. Does anyone see any corrections, additions?
No, I looked through these before and didn't see anything.
Yeah, I didn't either. Do we have a motion for approval?
So moved.
One second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we already did the agenda, right? Or did we?
No.
Okay. I moved to approve.
Okay, and I jumped you. Okay. And not literally. And do we have a second?
That would make the meetings more interesting.
I second it.
All in favor of approving the agenda as it is written?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And now we'll move on to our reports, and starting first with our beloved Metro Sergeant Marlowe.
Matt Marlowe, Las Vegas Metro Sergeant for Mount Charleston, Mill mm-hmm. Springs.
Hello.
In the last reporting period, we've written 32 citations up here on the pile, and we responded to 17 calls for service. One of those calls for service that we're still continuing to work with coordination of Red Rock Search and Rescue is the missing Rocco Vanilla, if you've not seen that on social media. The gentleman left his car running at the bottom of Deer Creek Highway in Lee Canyon, engine running, cell phone at, nobody around. The last he was seen, he got out of the car, apparently went up the road towards the ski and snow resort on foot, walking that direction. Family picked him up, said he had car problems. As they drove by, we had already found the vehicle, and the guy goes, "Hey, is that your car?" He goes, "No, that's not mine, keep going." And he was Then about a mile down the road, he's like, you know what, just let me out, just let me out. And they're like, gladly. And he gets out, and the last they saw him, he walked into the trees on the south side of the road there, about mile marker five out of the canyon. So he's in really good shape. It looked like maybe he had gotten some from the dispensary before he got up there, and it might have made him a little paranoid. That's what we're guessing. That's just a guess right now. We don't have any other facts. There was nothing that indicates suicide or homicide or anything otherwise. It just seems like maybe he had a bad trip. Wow. So they've been out there with drones. They've been out there searching on foot and ground. My guys have been out searching on foot. Because he's so fit, he had a t-shirt and jeans on, or a long sleeve t-shirt type thing and jeans, and it's been getting pretty chilly. It was that night that he went missing up that high. So we don't hold out a lot of hope. You know, his car got towed, his phone was in it. Who lives without their phone?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't tried to recover that. So anyway, long story short, he's still outstanding.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, we have DUI memorial signs going to be put up. And I'll say that piece that's for the MVP's portion. They're going to help us out and volunteer and help put those signs up along Kyle Canyon again through the month of December and January. And there's something else I didn't write down that I meant to tell y'all. If I think about it, maybe I'll get a caveat. Does the board have anything for Metro?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
How about the audience? Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I did.
Yeah. And now we'll receive a report from our charismatic fire district chief.
Adjective city.
George Gonzalez, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District. For the last reporting period, which is November 1st to November 30th, we have total calls volume of 15 calls, mixture of medicals, outside fires, and vehicle accidents. We do have a couple of good news to pass along to everybody. We conducted interviews. We have filled our vacant fire captain position. Gentleman by the name of Jason Douglas will be starting on December 27th will be his initial start date. He's going to be the fire captain in charge of the seasonal program in Lee Canyon. So once he starts, I'll try to bring him in here and introduce him to the board and to all the members here. Jason Douglas is coming from another agency in the Valley, which is kind of a rare thing. Brings a wealth of knowledge and certifications and experience behind him. So we're really looking forward to working with him and making the program better. And together with that, we also have some good news. I've been working with county management, and I've also been working with our staff and trying to increase our staffing level for the fire district. And county management has actually given me the green line to hire a new firefighter position that's going to work also with new captain Jason Douglas in Lee Canyon, making a full package or module, what we call an engine module, of four personnel come next summer.
Good.
So we'll have four personnel working under that unit in Lee Canyon full time from the time of April to October time frame. So we'll have four personnel operating that unit in that station. In the off season, those two personnel will be floaters, augmenting our response in Lee Canyon and Cobb Canyon too. So those are full-time, full-time positions that we'll be having here pretty soon. Coordinated with Medic West Ambulance to staff up an ambulance grand unit in Lee Canyon during the time frame of the school winter break and the holidays that follow up on the next few months, which is MLK and President's Weekend. So we'll be coordinating with the ski resort to having that unit. That unit's available for the fire district for any calls. So if Metro and HP runs into any medical calls, they'll be available on the air for that unit. And that'll be the 2-week holiday school break and the holidays after that. Last thing I got for you before I pass it on to Chief Martin is that we are moving forward with actually having the Pine Needle event next year. As it stands right now, we're going to plan to have the full event with the open house. But of course, that could change if the conditions change, the mandates change. So, but right now, as it stands, June 4th is going to be a projected Pine Needle event date. And with that, does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
Two quick questions.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys get your new water tender?
We did.
Okay.
So thank you for that. We did receive the new water tender. That ran into a little issue with the COVID and the supply chain. We got most of the equipment right now, but we're still waiting on some more equipment. As soon as we put all that equipment together into the unit, that unit will be fully operational. By the way, that unit's actually in Lee Canyon right now, awaiting some of that equipment.
One last question.
Sure.
One of my neighbors had heard that there was going to be no wood or charcoal fires on private land during red flag. Does that apply to smokers too, or just?
So what we're talking about is that I've been working on implementing fire restrictions in private land that kind of mirror the Forest Service restrictions. And I actually been coordinating some of those restrictions too. I haven't defined the fire restrictions yet, but what we got in place is that we got an approval by the Board of Fire Commissioners, which is the County Commissioner Board, to allow the fire district, i.e. the administrator, the fire chief, to implement those restrictions come next summertime.
Okay.
Once I have the fire restrictions defined, and the timelines and the parameters that are going to be implemented, which is going to be almost mirror the Forest Service, and it only makes sense that everybody here should be in agreement that we need some type of fire restrictions in private land when there's windy conditions or red flag conditions.
Yes.
The only question this particular neighbor of mine had was, would it apply to smokers because they were like continuing?
Is it a propane fire?
No, it would be. It's a charcoal smoker. This neighbor has.
I'll get back with you. Like I said, we've got to define the fire stations, and I'll be actually coordinating with the Forest Service and some of the board members here, and I'll present that in the next few months. We'll have it in place by next summertime. So yes, thank you for bringing that up.
And I'm tagging on to that. When you do that and you figure it out, I've been getting lots of different ones, some I've forwarded to you, on what exactly it would look like. Would it be round, square, tall, kettle, with wood, without wood, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
We did have a complaint from one neighbor that there was a neighbor who was barbecuing and left the fire unattended.
Yeah, that was me.
Yes, it was. I wasn't gonna out you.
No, I have no problem. So the neighbor did the fire. I heard crackling, saw the fire, it was white smoke. I went down, we own the property out front with Brian. I see white smoke, I hear crackling, no one's around. Mm-hmm. Between his new house and our property, I don't know, how many feet? It's like 5 feet or whatever.
No, they're right at the property line.
They're right on the property line. Mm-hmm. So I hear crackling, so I don't see anybody. I'm going, I don't know. My husband comes down. I said, I finally see two employees. I said, hey, you can't leave that fire unattended. Mm-hmm. And they said, you call the owner. And my husband said, we're talking to you. The employee flipped my husband off, which wasn't great. So then, my husband said, well, I'm going to have to call the fire department, which he did. And then I noticed they spoke Spanish. So then I yelled at him in Spanish. I go, you can't leave the fire unattended. It happened right after the fire with the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And so, you know, so of course we're all sensitive about fires.
Correct.
So then the owner finally came. He said, oh, well, I went to get some stuff. I go, you can't leave the fire unattended. That's it. He goes, oh, sorry. So the fire department came, police department came, that was it. They were there for a few minutes, that was it. So then I went to the fire department to find out what happened. Mm-hmm. They said, well, they had charcoal. I go, well, charcoal doesn't crackle, so I don't know what the crackling was. So I was concerned about it because we have dry brush. It's just trees. I mean, it's just a lot with trees and brush. And they constantly barbecue back there where nobody can see. So that was one of our main concerns, is that it's well hidden in the back.
Okay. So just to, the fire restrictions that we'll be working with everybody, by the way, and I'll be working with the top, you know, town board members, I'll be reaching out to you guys and some of the other agencies, is that we're not going to be able to encompass everything.
Right.
Because there's no way I can, we can, first of all, there's no way myself, our staff, or any of the law enforcement agencies is going to be able to police every single situation. So we're going to try to create a parameter where we use the weather conditions as one of the prime parameters to make sure that people are not, whether it's charcoal, smokers, wood, whatever the issue is, and then put in other parameters like making sure they got water, a shovel, and not leaving unattended fires.
And the thing is that they don't live there. So my concern was, is after they left, you know, the house is still being built and them barbecuing, and which is fine, but the only thing is leaving it unattended after they're done, you know, and then they're gone. So, you know.
So ultimately the property owner allowing to have that activity in the property is the person responsible. And if you guys find yourself talking to the property owner, make sure you explain to them that, hey, you're liable if there's a fire that starts in your property and it burns your property and it travels to my property or to the forest, by the way. So if the fire travels, it starts in private property and it moves into federal land, you could be liable for all the suppression actions in federal land too, by the way. Not just private land, but federal land too.
No, that's so good to know. Thank you.
Question?
No, just a comment. I noticed when we were driving up 157, there was a brand new sign that was put up somewhere in the last month about fire. There was already a sign there, but this is a new one, and it ends with feel it. So it talks about how to put out a fire.
Cold to the touch.
Cold to the touch. And so when you're putting that together, would you put cold to the touch in
there? Yes. So that's the Forest Service sign that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be reaching out to most of you guys for some input and suggestions too. So. Any other questions for me? Mm-hmm. I'll turn it over to Chief Martin. He's got a couple of announcements real quick.
Dave Martin, North Charleston Volunteer Fire Department. We have three new volunteers that have so far passed their FBI background check and their physical. Stephanie Harrelson, Andrew Laram, Carl Seymour, they're all residents of Rainbow. They'll live on Mont Blanc, actually.
Mm. Was there any arm twisting with that? Knowing your location to at least to the Seymour?
No, just lucky.
Good.
They're working through the program. They still have a long ways to go.
I just own a home on Mont Blanc, apparently. I think I'm playing protection.
Yeah, really.
Any questions for volunteers? We're still looking for more volunteers, though. So any other subdivisions want to kick in and help out, it'd be appreciated. Okay, thanks.
Good. And now our very dedicated Jason with Las Vegas Valley Water District with maybe good news, we hope, but it will be news.
Well, I may not be Jason, but I am.
Oh, sorry. Well, who are you?
I'm Derek Jackson.
Derek, okay. Well, you know, with the mask, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he couldn't make it up, so he was in close proximity with somebody with COVID, so he was
Well, we appreciate your dedication, too.
All right. That's what I do. So just for information's sake, if I can find it. I printed off in two small. Okay, so the Mount Charleston Fire Station precip gauge reported 0.14 inches of precipitation for the month of November. Currently, the water year-to-date precipitation at the Mount Charleston Fire Station gauge is 71% of the 22-year average. Keep in mind, that's just for precipitation. That's not snowfall. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are currently still in the concern status at each one of our wells. We are literally like 0.4 feet away from critical at three out of four wells. So, which just when that happens, we go to different watering restrictions, which of course, hopefully nobody's watering
in
the
wintertime.
But definitely, when that changes, we will change the signs out that are on the road. And when springtime comes and the watering starts again, we'll make sure that everybody's informed of the restrictions. Just a couple of other informational items. That there's nothing major has occurred over the last couple of months. I know we didn't meet last month in the system. There were no major items. We did have the Southern Nevada Health District came out. They come out every 3 years, and mm-hmm. they survey the site to make sure that they are sanitary. So we took them to each of the well sites and each of the tank sites and passed with flying colors. There were no issues noted by the Health District. And the other item was, is I don't know if anybody noticed, but on Alpine, there was a distribution crew up there just a few weeks ago. They were actually lowering a service on Alpine. We've been having some issues with services freezing. The meter's actually freezing and breaking. And we find out after a few days when they melt and start spewing water everywhere. So we're trying something different. We actually went out and lowered the meter another couple of feet in the pit. And there's a couple of other addresses that kind of have the same problem, but we were able to run heat trace to them for now. Next year, we'll look into lowering those also if this works out this winter. So is there anything from the board?
We have something here. Brian?
Sorry. Sorry. You don't have eyes in the back of your head?
No.
What's the update on the 2022 schedule to put in the new main from the well up through Mistletoe and Jim Howard's property?
Yeah, so the Rainbow Well Discharge Line project, which is what we're calling it, it was tentatively scheduled for 2022. Now with COVID, we're not quite sure. Sometimes it's hard to get parts. Sometimes it's hard to get folks up here. At the very least, the great news is we have all the easements. We have all the permits. We have basically the job is ready to go. So say the pipeline was to fail next week, in the emergency, everything's already designed out and ready to go to replace it. Unfortunately, we'd have to pay a little bit extra because it's an emergency and you gotta get people up here. But the plan would be hopefully to replace it sometime in spring of next year.
Okay, and will that be done by your own crews or is it contract people?
I believe we will have a contractor come in to do the initial run up the hill because the initial run up the hill is pretty steep and we're gonna have to pour kickers that support the pipe and everything else. And the pipe is not going to be completely buried. It's actually going to be partially buried going up that hill. And then once we get up to Arrowburg, that's when our crews will take over.
Okay.
So later tomorrow.
Thank you.
I will update you when, if we do get a solid date for that, I'll make sure that I update you guys and let you know that we will be pursuing that. The half the battle is done because it's designed, everything's purchased, it's ready to go. We're just kind of supply chain issues with getting piping and stuff like that.
So you got the money to do it?
We have the money.
Are you going to loan us the money to do it?
No, Mount Charleston actually has enough cash in their income expense budget to pay for it. So.
We like that.
Just a quick question. In all of our service lines, we've got that styrofoam ball, basically, that sits on top and under the cover.
Yeah.
I haven't had a problem, but assuming at some point down the road I did and that were to freeze, would that be my financial responsibility to repair that, or how does that work?
So if the meter was to freeze and break, no, that is on us. We'll come up and replace it here, yeah. So generally, if you're living up here and you're using water on a daily basis, it's very rare that you're ever going to see your meter freeze. It's for those properties where folks only come up on the weekend. And once you get down to like, you know, 16 degrees, 20 degrees out, if something sits for 2 days, no matter how well you've insulated it, it will freeze because it's just netting. We were fortunate that we were able to talk a couple of homeowners into that. It's from the extension cord from the property out to the feeder pit, and then we wrapped heat trace around it that keeps it warm. But yeah, if a meter breaks, the water just shoots.
Thank you.
We prefer not to. That's why we want to start either lowering them or taking care of the problem. So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we're good.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't see Donna here for the MBB. I was going to ask you to fill in.
Matt Morlow.
Sergeant for Las Vegas Metro, speaking on behalf of Ms. Donna for the MVPs. I do remember what I was going to say, let me backtrack for the Metro side. We received one of our grant fundings for the thermally handheld units. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We got those, I just put them in inventory today. We're playing with them, I think they'll be very effective. I kind of wish we'd had them for this Rocco Ranilla thing.
Yeah.
If we went missing that one day, we might have made a difference. I don't know. But we have the tools now, and we appreciate that, so I want to thank the board for that.
So you got one or two units?
Two.
Okay.
Good. Okay, as the MVPs, as I mentioned, they're going to be putting up the DUI memorial signs this Saturday on the highway, but they also, we had a bunch of turkeys donated. We took them out to Indian Springs. There was no sides. So the MVPs took it upon themselves to accumulate a whole bunch of side dishes for the folks out in Indian Springs, some of the lesser fortunate folks. There was an abundance of sides. They came up with a lot of stuff from some of the residents and the MVPs themselves. So we want to give credit where credit's due for the MVPs and their thoughtfulness and wanting to participate and helping out and make it a good Thanksgiving for those folks. As always, we're recruiting MVPs. If you're interested in being one, please see Donna Thompson. And think of anything else?
No, I can't.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for MVPs regarding MVPs? Board? Audience? Thank you.
Thank you. And now our magnificent Nevada Highway Patrol officer, and I forgot your name.
George Song.
Jesse Bach, Nevada State Police now.
That's right.
Patrol. We've got a lot of stats for you because that's what we do.
State Police.
And this is all of Indian Springs and Mount Charleston. The majority of our time is spent along 157, 158, 156, and 95, all the way up to Amherst Roosevelt. We had 493 traffic stops this month. And again, that's 5 plus 1, so 6 of us. 460 citations. Almost all of those are hazardous moving violations. We policed 18 crashes, and I'll break those down in a second. We had 8 arrests, all but 1 were DUI arrests. 68 motorist assists. Total contacts for the month are 647, and that's all of us combined. On these crashes, of the 18 crashes, 12 of those were in Indian Springs, Mount Charleston area. The other 4 were offbeat, so some troopers work overtime urban. And some take calls on their way to and from our beat, so 12 total in our areas. Most of those were on 95 and 157. One of them was a fatal that was up in Nye County, mile marker 27 along US 95. That was this past Sunday. It was a triple fatal. 4 other people went to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
A dog was dead, and the suspect was arrested.
Was that a DUI?
It is suspected DUI. Okay. We did get blood results back. I can't comment.
Yeah, sure.
Of the 8 total, 18, and excluding that fatal, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4. 9 of those were injury crashes. The rest were just property damage. 2 of them involved burrows.
Mm. And was that on 157?
One was at 95 and mile marker 104, so right down there.
Oh,
and one
wow.
was at 95 mile marker 107.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Kind of down low.
Yeah, really low. Well, it's getting colder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your most dangerous day to drive this month was Saturday. Mm. Well, regarding the number, of course, regarding the injury, that was Sunday. And let's see, if you want to, I know Indian Springs Board wants specifics on the animals. So we did run for an entire year the animal strikes in this area, 95, 157, 156, 158, and there were a total of 16 animal strikes. And I can tell you, just working here for a few months, that we run twice the number of strikes in just animal calls. So if we were to get 16 animal strikes in a year, we've ran two or three that many just calls of animals in the roadway and when they didn't get hit. Uh-huh. So our troopers do kind of corral them out of the road,
good.
And even off the highway. And one of our troopers got headbutted, his car.
Oh, oh.
He had a donkey off of the 95 median there. So,
oops.
I think that's about it. You guys have any questions?
I'm just curious what the state police versus the old title highway patrol means.
So there's no difference in our services. We always have been state police. We are full service police department. We're just not utilized in that fashion in the urban Las Vegas area. Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department handles, knocking on people's doors and taking burglary calls. And we primarily stay on the freeways.
But so the official title of the department is?
It's still, well, so the overall encompassing title is Nevada State Police, and then there are different divisions. We're still Highway Patrol. So we still stick to the freeways and we're traffic cops.
Okay. Highway safety primary.
Pretty much.
I see your badge cover. Did we lose a
We
officer?
Did lose a trooper, Fontaine. He was in the hospital for quite some time with pneumonia, and then at some point he contracted coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He succumbed last week.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, David. No, sorry.
His service, I think, is
next week.
Let's see.
Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank
anyone?
You.
Any questions?
No. Thank you. And we have anyone from Forest Service? Oh, we do, in the Forest Service outfit. I should have seen.
Good evening.
And we're excited to have you here, so thank you.
No problem. Deb could not make it, so I said I'd fill in. Ray Dombrowski, District Fire Management Officer for the Spring Mountain National Recreational Area. So I don't know if you had a meeting last month. I was in Northern California finishing up my move, so I missed it. If you had one, I apologize. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
But this month of November, we've had no fires, but talking with George, there might be a discrepancy in that. There might have been an abandoned campfire on the Deer Creek Highway this weekend that I don't know about. And no abandoned campfires that we've found by our patrols. We do have fire modules out on the Large Fire Organization doing some prescribed fire in Arizona right now, but we do still have a module here, an engine at Kyle. As far as our law enforcement, we've had 15 tickets in the last month with 9 incident reports. Most of those tickets, not as exciting as the county or the highway patrol, occupancy and use in the recreational areas, some thievery of firewood, and but none on campfires or abandoned campfires. As a kind of a preparing for it, our fuels program, the first of the year in January, I'll remind you next month as well, we're going to start doing some prescribed fire, pile burning, nothing of intensity. Be here near the Lee Canyon and Kyle Canyon Barrow Pits and out at Potosi, and I believe that is it. Most of these are very small in size, that you have to light them, staff them, and put them out. At Camp Stinson, there'll be 20 acres in that area of pile burning. Um, 400 acres of Potosi Pass over off the 160, 2 acres at Lee Canyon Barrow Pit, and 2 acres at the Kyle Canyon Old Home Spot admin site. And then non-fire, Deb wanted me to pass on that the visitor center is down here is currently open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And then starting on December 17th through January 2nd, I will be open continuously except for Christmas Day on the 25th.
So just those dates again?
December 17th to January 2nd should be open other than Christmas Day.
And that's the regular, yeah, winter break?
Right.
Okay.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Parking places.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But the hours of operation you just gave, is that going to be totally with volunteer, or is the Fed going back to work?
I've been at work, so with volunteer.
Okay.
So we are working on bringing back the non-essential employees into the Forest Service due to the mandates and vaccinations starting pay period 1 January 3rd, 2nd, whatever that Monday is, and giving some groups up to 90 days to repopulate their office space. Mm-hmm. But recreation has been intact for the most part, and fire during since March of 20.
Thank you.
Anything from the... Yes, sir.
Kind of a fun question. I'm not sure who's responsible for this. Maybe it's a private party.
Okay.
Who put the picnic table on top of Cathedral Rock? Was it the Forest Service?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of. That's in the wilderness, right?
All I know is it's right on top of Cathedral Rock. It's one of those wooden assemble yourself type of picnic tables.
Yeah, most of them got it up there. I don't know. I do not know who brought that in, but I will write that down because
I'm sure down.
Somebody's going to be going to retrieve it if it's not supposed to be there.
I know it's kind of a fun thing, and it's maybe it might be kind of fun to go up there and visit it and have your own picnic. My concern is, as a resident up here, that it would draw more people, graffiti in that area. Maybe someone might be tempted to start a campfire up there.
For sure.
You know, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it might draw the wrong element, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, you're right. And like I said, depending on where it is and what it is, I'd hate to leave it there for any length of time.
I don't know how anyone got it up there. It had to be somebody with a lot of industry and
tenacity and
tenacity.
Maybe they put it together up there. Mm-hmm. Just had their friends each carry a piece.
I don't know. They had an army or
something. I guess.
Any other questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Department of Transportation, NDOT. No? Well, that brings us to our electrifying Nevada energy with PSA.
I didn't know what you were going to say there. I like it though.
All right, Scott Kaufman, NV Energy. We've also got Mark here if any questions come up for him. Let's see, last time we were here was the end of September meeting, so I'll kind of give updates from that point to now. We've had two outages since then. One was October 12th. It was 9.05 a.m. to 11.49 a.m., about 2 hours and 45 minutes-ish. Upon patrol, we found that there was a loose wire on one of the structures. We think that wire, it was fairly windy that day. We think that wire contacted another wire, caused an outage. So we came back up the next day and repaired that so that we weren't going to have the same problem again. October 20th, we had an outage 3:27 a.m. to 4:19 a.m. There was an animal that was found deceased at the substation down near the highway that feeds this entire area. So animal didn't make it, but we were able to clean that up and restore power. So that was 15 minutes or so. So those were the only two outages since the last time we met in September. One good update. You guys might remember, we've talked about this a little bit over the last couple of years. At the beginning, what's called spring, at the beginning of kind of fire season, we take our equipment up here and we put it in what we call a non-reclosed mode or a fire season mode. So if there is a fault, it will open the circuit immediately and it will not try to re-energize itself. We do that for fire season, right? If there is a spark, we don't want it to re-energize and to create a second spark, right? Energy deemed the end of critical fire season for us internally anyway, somewhere around November 5th. So we we went back to normal on our equipment. So right now, if there is a, what I'll call a momentary outage, maybe wires slap together a little bit, maybe something just gets into a wire, you'll have an outage for maybe 10 seconds, and then the equipment will re-energize itself and try to restore power. So that's good news, right? If there's a little momentary, it should restore itself here real quick. So we'll be in normal operating mode, again, you know, depending on what happens with the weather, precipitation, and everything else. Hopefully till some point, you know, late spring, but you guys know weather will kind of dictate that. No concerns from a PSOM perspective for us over the next 7 days. We obviously will continue to monitor that throughout the winter, but no concerns right now. There was a question from the last, I think it was the September meeting, it might have been before that, and it was a question, you know, all the new development that's happening downhill, you know, right off the highway, how is that development being served, and will the services up here at all be impacted by what's going on further down the hill? The answer is nothing up here would be impacted. All of that new development is being served by that big substation you drive by right off the freeway. It's called Northwest Substation. So that will feed everything down kind of in the valley. So no impacts to anything up here, no impacts, you know, to a piece of perspective or anything like that because of the new development that's going on. And then the last
one more question on that.
Yeah.
If you do have a PSOM, is that unit going down? Do they shut that one down?
No.
Okay.
No. So the only what we call the tier three areas, which is our most extreme fire conditions, our only tier three areas in Southern Nevada are Mount Charleston. So it's essentially everything coming up the hill. It's not that stuff that's kind of in the lowlands and in the valley down there. So. So, just okay. As you kind of get up the mountain.
Well, there's an area there by Fletcher, you know, campground. There's a kind of a substation kind of thing there.
Show me on a map. I'm not familiar with the word Fletcher. I'll have to look at a map.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right.
Upper substation. Angel?
Upper substation.
Oh, Kyle Canyon. Oh, Kyle Canyon right here. Yeah, that would be, yes, that's part of the PSOM area. That's part of it. Part of tier three.
Well,
yes.
My question is, how far down the mountain does that PSOM go? You know, when you say, okay, PSOM, cutting off the power.
I don't have a map with me.
Okay.
I will bring a map back with me next time.
Okay.
We can look at my... Actually, you know what we can do? If you guys want to stay when we're done, we can blow up on our phone tonight.
Okay.
It's on the phone. It's on our website. Teams continue to work on our what we call our Second Amendment filing. That's the filing that we will file. We think, I know I've told you by the end of the year, I asked today, it's probably 1 to 2 months out, honestly, but that's the filing that will talk about our plans for Mount Charleston. Any sorts of rebuild, system hardening, anything that would look like with multiple options and costs and schedules and all that kind of stuff. So the Mount Charleston stuff is the highest priority within that Second Amendment filing. Like I said, probably 1 to 2 months away. I asked for an update today, so that's kind of what we have there. That is all I have. Oh, and Mark's got a map. I guess we can... You want me to walk around now?
Sure.
Or you want to wait?
Yeah,
until...
no, go ahead.
Okay.
Wait.
So in Southern Nevada, it's just the tier three areas that we do our PSOM events at. Mm-hmm. In Northern Nevada, we do have tier one and tier two, which is a little bit lower flatland areas that we also have the possibility of PSOMing. The area down at the bottom of Mount Charleston here is in the wildland area, but it's not in the tier area. So we don't, we're not looking at PSOMing that area yet due to the fuel types, the terrain, stuff like that.
So I'll just walk around with this. The red, and I'll walk around everywhere, the red polygon is what we call our tier three area.
So where does it start? If you come in at 157,
yeah,
where is that red starting?
I'm not sure if I can get an aerial up here, but this kind of, the line, the yellow dots are essentially our line. They turn and go north somewhere right around the Forest Service property station.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
And so it that's kind of the end point.
Okay.
Give or take 1,000 feet or something.
So
like
it
that.
Doesn't go
right.
Below the hotel or below.
the resort is within tier three.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So the power comes up from an
Range.
So it comes down from 95 upper range on here, fed into the Kyle.
Essentially, the
where's the roundabout?
Yeah, well, that's what I was asking. Really, more
like that way.
Right.
It's close.
If it's going down to the Forest Service fire station,
it's correct. That's pretty close. That's right around
right
where
above.
That,
okay.
Give her, you know, plus or minus a little bit.
Basically, right after the S turns.
Yeah.
Yes.
So not the aerial. Yeah, Forest Service is like the last one. Forest Service.
Okay.
It's in here exactly where it's at.
Yeah. So we provide. Just letting you guys know, during a peace on event, we provide a generator for the Forest Service station, so they also have the fire water. The water supply, and we're currently working with Clark County Emergency Manager to try and secure, there's a grant available, to try and secure additional permanent generators up here. So not only during a PSOM event, the generators will be here, that, you know, any outage or any type of wildland fire that, or during a winter storm where power goes out, the generation would be still here. So we're working with emergency management and the state on some federal funds that could be available. So we're going to, they are available, we're applying for the grants for that.
Do you happen to know how many people of the 450 plus or minus lots on the mountain have the need for constant usage for respiratory
medical.
And medical?
We currently have three.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's more people that would need it.
Yeah, well, it's our called our Green Cross customer program.
Okay.
And so if you have anyone that might need that, have them contact our main office number, and they'll send a packet out. And there's some medical, you know, do your physician, get it filled out, and then we'll put you on the Green Cross list. For that too, but also there's also a couple different levels of a senior citizen where it might need additional assistance. You can let our customer service center know that, and we'll tag your account for that too.
That's so cool. Now, with the weather getting colder, mm-hmm. we're still very dry because we haven't had very much precipitation. Is there factors that the wind would be at a certain mile per hour that we would still have a piece on?
Yeah, we're still monitoring the situation. Like Scott just said, we took our system out of wildland mode,
mm-hmm.
But we're still monitoring it. We have a contractor that monitors it, but we also have an in-house meteorologist now. He came from the National Weather Service out of Reno. And we continually monitor the field conditions. When we did get the moisture, obviously the conditions were going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the energy release component, that's what we monitor, and how large a fire to get.
Mm-hmm.
That was going down. Now it's going up across the state.
Mm-hmm.
The whole state hasn't received rain in the last couple of weeks, so we're starting to dry back out. The largest fires we've had in the state of Nevada that have taken out a large amount of residents, 30-plus homes, has happened during the winter events.
Mm-hmm.
October, November, December, and January, and February were the largest impacted fires because the fuels are in dormant mode. So you may have green grass during the summer because you water it, but
mm-hmm.
it's dormant. So then you just have dry fuel going right up to your house. Leaves, old dry leaves are piled around your house. And so fire carries with the high wind. So we're constantly monitoring it. We will be seeing some wind next week, you know, but it's
mm-hmm.
only going to be, or as of right now, you know, 30s, you know, but we're seeing that 7 to 8 days out, but we're constantly monitoring that.
Yeah, I guess my concern is we get people that do dispersed camping and start their, or get lost, and they try to start fires with big, practically trees that I've seen across at Echo before that goes, you know, it's about as long as this table over their little fire pit they made. So that's a concern with the wind and stuff, especially this time of year when it starts getting, they're cold and you don't want a fire.
It is, and what we do is we have one camera set up here, which is alert wildfire camera down at the Forest Service Station. And part of that, you can go up to the Alert Wildfire website, and you can pull it up, and you can see that camera. But it's also, we just upgraded it about a month and a half ago, where it's an automatic intelligence, where it can help detect a smoke, and so early notification. We were getting ready to install a second camera at the lodge this summer, but then they were doing an upgrade on the cell tower there, FirstNet was, and so it delayed us. And then the week we have permission to install the camera is when the lodge fire happens.
Boy, right, that now, would have been interesting
right,
to have.
Right, it would have been there. We were a week late on that. Wow. And so we're not able to install it right now. It's been delayed. The insurance mm-hmm. company and the property owner actually right. has secured the property. Mm-hmm. So we're not allowed to go on that property yet and install that camera. We're hoping to have that installed sometime in January whenever they release the property to do that.
I just wanted to question, you had done grubbing and then replanting. Can you give us an update on that?
Yes. So we have done some fuels mitigation work up on private lands here, and working with U.S. Forest Service on done some work on the Forest Service land and seeking additional permission on Forest Service land. The work we did around the church, you guys saw, we did some mastication there and some fuel thinning. We are working with the forester right now and acquiring the proper seed to reseed the fuel break with native vegetation, which is fire resistant too. So it grows in clumps and doesn't have continuous fuel. So that will be, as soon as they acquire the seed, that will be finished off.
Okay, what about?
And then the pole grubbing, we're continuing on around the residence. We still have some stuff, pole grubbing to do in and around Rainbow. We're going to finish that off with the crews here shortly. But yes, we've done anywhere from, you'll see a distance between 10 feet to 30 feet, depending on the type of equipment that's on there and the terrain and the fuel type that's around there. And you also see on some of the roadways in our right-of-ways, some of the vegetation was overgrowing the road. And in our right-of-way, we thinned out that vegetation too, so if there was a fire, it gives a little bit better evacuation route too.
When do you expect the grubbing to be done?
We're hoping, we had a little delay on some work, an equipment failure on the masticator, so we're hoping to have that fixed. The part is on back order, so as soon as that gets fixed, and we'll get the chipper up and running. So hopefully by the end of this month. If not, it'll be as soon as we get the part. If we don't get the part,
it's on a ship out in Los Angeles.
Flew out from there, man. They're just everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, so we don't have that many poles. I mean, we can show you on our map that all the green dots are the ones that have been completed. But we're still going to be doing a lot of work on the right-of-way on the Forest Service land. We have submitted an application for a master permit to do our right-of-way clearing. We did the 200 tree removal already last year. There are some additional trees that died. We did a survey this week. We found some additional trees that died. We're going to try and get those removed here
about
shortly.
How many?
On there, we identified, I think, 30 okay. trees that I would have to do the complete count on them. But it was around 30 that we okay. identified that need to be immediate hazard. And so we'll be submitting approval to the Forest Service on that. And also on the master permit, we'll be doing a right-of-way clearing where we're going to be cleaning out on a Forest Service land around 75% of vegetation in the right-of-way and stop the continuous fuel and to thin out the crowns around here. And we also did a project with the Forest Service on our shared stewardship program. You might have saw us up the canyon here. It was a retreatment. They did a treatment about 10 years ago, and it was regrowing, and so we had our crews up here thinning that vegetation back out and removing some of the vegetation.
Thank you.
Ryan?
I'm sorry. Second fire camera, what month are you hoping for on that again?
As soon as the insurance company releases the property to go have another independent contract to go on the property. And so we called them last week. They're hoping in a couple more weeks, they said. And so we're hoping as soon as we can. And that camera will be on the cell tower up there. It will rotate, and it will also be on automatic intelligence, so it'll be able to detect a fire on smoke. And then we also are able to control it too, and also the fire chief will be able to control it, and same with the Forest Service. They have access to it now.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And we're also going to be adding our weather stations. So we have two weather stations now here, starting in January. January, we're going to be installing 5 more cameras in southern, 10 total, but 5 more in this area. So the weather stations are going to be, you'll see one at the lodge, and then that's the easiest one to look at, and another one's at Angel Peak that we have, but we're going to be installing a little bit more weather stations around, because, you know, as we hear all the time, we'll de-energize, and it's not windy in certain areas, but you go around the corner, and it's howling. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be adding additional weather stations so we get that data, and we're also going to be adding fuel. We have, it monitors more than just the wind. It monitors the RH, the relative humidity, the temperature, how much rain we receive. It monitors the moisture in the ground. And we're also adding a feature where it's going to do the 10-hour fuels, monitoring the mm-hmm. flashy fuels, so the vegetation that makes it easy to carry a fire.
Just a quick question. Have you guys thought about sharing the information of precipitation with the water district?
It's a public website, and so
okay.
it does have that. We are, and that the one of the grants we're sharing information with all the fire agencies, federal.
So if I wanted to look at it, where would I go?
NV Energy Weather. NV Energy Weather.
Is it the Western Weather Group site?
Yeah, it's NV Energy Weather. So if you type in that, you'll see all of the weather stations. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be adding another 35 weather stations.
Wow, cool.
So across the state of Nevada. Mm-hmm. And so, we're working on a lot of different programs. Like I already mentioned, the grants. Some of the grants will also be looking at helping the fire district, the Forest Service, but also the lodge, but also all the water districts too. Any questions? And then if there's, I'd like to thank the chief. We've had a lot of red flags that we've used the agencies, both the volunteers and the paid staff, and also had to bring other agencies in during the red flag days or high wind days, that they were able to staff up and help protect the community if there was an incident. They work hand in hand with our troublemen that's up here, that we station up here. If we get a system trip, they go out looking to see if they're, happen to have a fire start or anything like that. Angel, so I'd like to thank the chief and the community for supporting that program and helping out on that.
Well, during the last two PSOMs, I have T-Mobile, and before that, we weren't getting service. The last two times, I had better service. Not perfect, but better. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been working on that, and then if you ever have a PSOM event, we do have our own cell on wheels, a TOW, we call it, and we are able to provide it's FirstNet, AT&T service, and it's Verizon. But also, you can go. We have a Wi-Fi hotspot there, where you can switch your phone over to Wi-Fi hotspot and make cell phone calls off of that.
And that's at the hotel.
That's the resort.
That would be at the resort. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. I do have one.
Go for it.
Because I'm just so curious. How did an animal take out the power on October 20th?
Good question. Somehow it got inside the substation, right?
And
so
what kind
there's
of
a
animal?
Fence around it. Somehow it got.
I heard it was a fox.
Somehow it got over the fence and into the substation. It got up on, we think, because when we found it was on the ground, but we think it got up on top of one of the pieces of equipment, and it made contact between two places that it shouldn't make contact.
Yeah.
It caused an outage.
Right.
I was going to say, the foxes in my yard can jump.
I was
way
say,
up.
Yeah.
They can jump.
It is possible. What we did do a couple of weeks, you can't do it immediately because you got to get the right materials and stuff like that, but a couple of days or a couple of weeks after that, we installed what we called Animal Guard. So it's a non-conductive, like, rubber material that we can put over those points of contact so that you then can't touch both pieces of metal at the same time, or an animal can't.
Uh-huh.
Works pretty well when we do that in other situations throughout the state where maybe there's an animal problem. So hopefully we don't have that same issue again.
Okay, good. All I could think of was a dog or a burro that down there. I didn't even think of the foxes.
Yeah, I called them and I talked to Angel. Angel has been wonderful.
Angel gave you some information, huh?
Angel has been wonderful.
Good.
Well, ever since the utility pole issue in my yard.
Oh, right.
You know, and you guys did great on that. So she and I talk a lot.
You're good. Yep. That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank
and
she's you. Not here tonight.
Yeah. She's not. Thank she could make tonight. Should make.
There's one thing I like to add is that with our crews out doing the vegetation management around our infrastructure, we have a program where we do have state funds that can go out to 1,000 feet, but we're looking at 175 feet of Mount Charleston. So if you have your property and need some vegetation work and it's close to our right of way within the 175 feet, we're wanting to thin that vegetation out, and so you just contact myself and we can schedule the crew to help remove that vegetation.
How about a dead tree?
Give us a call.
Okay.
But it's gonna impact our infrastructure if we have the ability to take that.
Good.
So please spread the word on.
Yeah, we will.
So if it's within the, just out of curiosity, so I'm not misquoting anybody, if it's in that 175 feet, but there isn't a utility pole, but it, then how do you determine, does it have to have a wire over it, does it have to have a utility pole? What is the definition?
If you look at the power poles, we have our right-of-way, which is usually 20 feet.
Yeah.
And then you go 175 feet on both sides, so 300 feet.
Okay.
You're within 300 feet of that line.
Yeah, I got
a pole. Like I said, we do have funding to go out to 1,000. And so if it's at 400 feet and closer infrastructure, we're going to still want to treat that whole area. So
does that include, because I have my fence, there's the power pole, and then there's the line that goes to my house.
That's the service drop, yeah.
So does it count if the tree fell and hit?
The service drop is the responsibility of the homeowner.
Okay.
But what we will do is we'll come out and coordinate with you to disconnect that power, you'll have a contractor take that tree, and then we'll reconnect it. And we try and do that all obviously within the same day, and there's no charge for that.
Okay.
So, right. But you are responsible for the service drop.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And last but not least, our amazing County Administrative Service, Megan.
I have very little, so I'm going to do it right here. The calendar, I'll be bringing you the full calendar January like we usually do for next year.
Okay.
We had just needed to look at the first 3 months because planning is scheduling so many weeks in advance. They need to know, and there was nothing unusual, so I just told them to go with regular schedule. For short-term rentals, they are going to be, you're going to be having town board training in January, like we do we're required to do by state law every year, and they're going to do a big presentation about short-term rentals and the process during that. And I told them that that's great, but the whole community up here is concerned, not just the town board members. So they're going to come out either to the January or February meeting and have a full discussion here at the town board.
Cool.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay.
Very good.
Do we have an update on dark skies?
I don't know. It's.
And do we have an update on Transform Clark County?
They approved the land use plan, so then we'll be going next into the code. And I don't know what the schedule is for that. They have not given that to us yet.
Mm-hmm. I do have one announcement, if that's okay. Give me just a second here. Sorry, it takes a second to pull all this up.
Okay, while you're doing that, we'll just go.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Last month, I volunteered for a position, and I'm going to read you two short paragraphs. You already know this, but maybe the rest don't. It says, on Tuesday, November 16th, the Board of County Commissioners appointed you, which is me, as a member of the Clark County Community Development Advisory Committee, CDAC, for 21-22. The CDAC is a vehicle through which citizens provide input into Clark County's Home Investment Partnership Program, HOME, which is an acronym, Affordable Housing Trust Fund, AHTF, and Emergency Solutions Grant, ESG. Allocations to be received from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Nevada Housing Division. The CDAC will be reviewing proposals for home/AHTF grants and making recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners about those projects most worthy of receiving funding. The CDAC will also be reviewing the recommendation of Southern Nevada's Homelessness Continuum of Care Evaluation Working Group on the allocation of the ESG funds. So thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to it. Our first meeting is on the 7th.
Okay, we don't have any planning, zoning, general business. So now's the time for any comment on things that weren't on the agenda. So if anyone has any issues or concerns.
Megan, a while back we were talking about county trying to appropriate property for a new fire station. I was wondering if there's any progress or movement on that.
I don't know. George might know more. No. We've been trying to work with... get some federal land, mm-hmm. and the last land we looked at turned out had some sort of historic value, so we're going to have to work that one over. I know, it's frustrating.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, our next meeting is January 27th, and seeing no further business, we're adjourned. Thank you.